This morning, as I announced yesterday, I will preach from the subject of the mule as just a plain old big donkey. The mule walked on. Joseph Stalin, years ago, put on the billboards of Russia what the God of the United States was like. He pictured God the Father as an old man, long, shaggy, white hair, wrinkled face, in rags. And he pictured Jesus Christ, now this was Stalin's picture, he pictured Jesus Christ in a top hat, a long cigarette holder, and a cigarette with tails on, dress suit, as a swinger. And then on the third billboard, he depicted the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a mule. Little did he realize that there are certain characteristics about a mule that is similar to the preciousness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, this that I preach to you this morning is, the mule is not represented as the Holy Spirit, but he is represented as the motivation of the Holy Spirit. If you ever farmed any, or if you are a cattleman, or if you know anything about animals, you must realize that a mule is far superior in his intellect than a horse. A mule is much smarter than a horse. A horse will eat until he becomes bloated and dies. Not a mule. A horse will lose his sense of direction, but not a mule. A horse, when running, will step into a gopher hole and break his leg and break the rider's neck, but not a mule. A mule is the sure-footedest of all of the beasts in the horse kingdom. I can tell already that you're beginning to get with me. You're beginning to see a little bit where I'm going. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the surest of all creatures or celestial beings that you and I will ever come in contact with. He shall lead you and guide you and carry you into all truth and righteousness. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, a horse will throw you and then leave you, but not a mule. You gig an old mule and spur him in the flanks, and he'll dump you. But when he dumps you, he stands still. He doesn't run on off. He's just kindly saying to you, quit gigging me. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is going to stay with you if you will allow him to. Oh, glory to God. I feel it turning over inside my soul this morning. Before this thing's closed is here, we're liable to have enough of glory around here to swim in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There'll be enough of the joy bells of heaven and the joy juice for every last one of us to get intoxicated in the Spirit. My subject says, the mule walked on. Little did we realize, as we got up this morning, partook of breakfast, our conversation was going to go to this very subject. Some of our Bible schools have come to the place of ludicrousy. They have no regard for holiness. And whether you like it or not, it's holiness or hell. I'm preaching to some this morning that I'm afraid it's going to be the last. I did not describe this thing for its holiness. If I had my way, I'd be able to lose my temper and knock fire from you and make you look like a walking blowtorch when you got me angry. But I don't have my way. If I had my way, if you said something I didn't like, I'd smite you on both sides of the cheek. But I don't have my way. If I had my way, I'd lay in bed and sleep some mornings when I didn't feel just too perky-fied. But I don't have my way. If I had my way, I'd talk about who I wanted to when I got ready and wanted to. But I don't have my way. The Bible describes a path, and he said there is a highway. Then there is a way inside that highway, and that way is called holiness. And outside of it, no man will ever lay eyes on the eternal celestial Godhead. Without holiness, you're not going to make it in. I care not if you're Catholic. You're going to have to be a holy Catholic. I care not if you're a Baptist. You're going to have to be a holy Baptist. I care not if you're a Presbyterian. You're going to have to be a holy Presbyterian. Holy to God. How to get off of that. Our colleges have got to the place that they can dissipate and distort infallible proofs of God. We speak of miracles and miraculous things taking place, and they stare at us like a mule staring at a new gate. Don't know where to go in or not. You listen to me. We're going to have to abide by the divine teachings of the Heavenly Father. My son said to me some time ago, he's been preaching since he's 6 years old. And my boy said to me, Daddy, why do we have to do some things? I said, because God said for us to do it. He said, well, it looks like, I said, honey, it looks like nothing. If God said it, we just do it. We just do it. When he said, I have to love you to get to heaven, I have to swallow sometimes, 3 or 4 times. I had to love him, God. You ever see anybody's hard love? Bubba, I have. I live next door to a man's hard love. I've treated him every way but the wrong way. And I'm almost tempted that's the way I'm going to have to treat him to get him to love me. Just shake him like a big old tomcat does a rat sometime, and maybe he'll love me more. We have reached a place now where the word sanctification has been removed from our vocabulary. We leave sanctification or purity or separation out. And when we do, God's going to leave us out. Every great church that was ever started was started on the principles of a sanctified life. When John Wesley appeared upon the scene, the world was steeped and groping in total absolute darkness. You could read signs that appeared all over England, and it was the most civilized and Christianized of all nations. It said, get drunk for a penny and dead drunk for a half a penny. They put little 9-year-old boys and 8- and 10-year-old girls in factories and made them work 16 hours a day. But that little 5-foot-and-3-inch, 127-pound man stepped out upon his daddy's tombstone after he had been locked out of the church and forbidden to preach there. He stepped up to his daddy's tombstone and said, Papa, where will I go? And he laid his Bible on the tombstone or the headstone and began to pray. And when he opened his Bible, the Bible was opened to where it said, go ye therefore. And he began to think, that would make a lovely pulpit. And when he got through preaching there 7 weeks later, instead of burying more dead in the graveyard, he had resurrected 33,000 souls in the kingdom of God. The verse of Scripture said, and Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom was David's son, as you know. And Absalom rode upon a mule. Now the reason that they rode upon the mule, because the mule's sure-footed. He'll not stumble and fall. They didn't ride upon beautiful horses, the kings didn't. Because they knew better. That old mule's going to get them through. But the horse is liable to betray him. And so he rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. And his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. Now let me read it to you as it's read in the Arabic. The original translation of the word. And Absalom went forth to meet the servants of David. And Absalom was seated upon a mule. And the mule went underneath a forked limb of a great oak. And Absalom's head was caught up in the fork. And he was lifted from off of the back of the mule. And the mule walked on. There has never been a church with the splendor of the Pentecostal church. How many Pentecostal people do we have here this morning? Hold your hand up over your head. Isn't that wonderful? You got it coming to you now. There has never been a church with the glory of the Pentecostal church. We started from barns and hublets and back alleys and across the rivers. And the glory of God was so stupendous upon us that the world came out to see us. They came to see the healings. They came to feel the power, the impregnation of the Spirit of God. They came and beheld with great wonderment at our glory, not able to understand it. They came again and again and again. Finally, they were initiated together with us. And the church has rose now until the most beautiful of all buildings is our modern-day Pentecostal world. Let's look at Brother Absalom. Absalom rode upon a mule. His hair hung down his back. Way down. His hair weighed, when they cut it once a year, it weighed better than 3 pounds and 7 ounces. And it was golden. and it was gorgeous. And the Bible is very clear in its informative state when it said that there was no man that was as good looking or as goodly to look upon as Absalom was. He was a perfect statue. Brother, if there ever has been a perfect statue of a church, it's a Pentecostal church. We have talent coming out our ears. When you hear singers like Doris Akers, when you the greatest musicians, singers like Jimmy Swagger, Ike Davis, I name them on and on and on. When you hear them and you recognize the talent and the glory, but if we're not careful, we're getting too high and exalted. In Texas language, we're getting too big for our britches. Sunday school. 22 and 300 on Sunday night. When J.C. Hibbert built his church, they give guided tours to go through his church. They flew in from all across the United States. They had 3 guided tours a day. His church would cost you approximately $3 million to build it now, if you could even build it. And they guided tours through that great mammoth church. Our choirs, who did they say was the best choir that's ever appeared down here in Ford's auditorium? Who? Which one? This one right here. What radio broadcaster listened to more than any other? Pentecostal broadcast. Yes, sir. Now, you can be dead and sit there if you want to, honey, but I'm going to get some life in my soul in just a second. I'm going to be like the black preacher friend of mine that got up in his church and he struggled along and struggled and struggled for about 35 minutes and nobody helped him. And pretty soon glory caught on fire. And when it did, they wanted to get in on it. That's it. Now, come on, Pastor. That's it. Preach that, Pastor. And they got to hollering around, and old Charles grabbed the microphone and said, shut your mouth and sit down. He said, for 30 minutes I pulled this wagon up this hill, and they wasn't none of you helped me get it up here. And say, bless God, if you think I'm going to let you ride down with me, you wrong. He said, I got a hold of this thing, and I'm going to keep a hold of it. Hallelujah to God forevermore. We sit around till the preacher gets us all happy, and then we want to get in on it. When you could get in on the first part of it, you could begin to listen, you could be attentive, you could begin to worship and glorify, for that's the whole purpose of this thing, is magnifying the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Absalom in the church world was great, gargantuous, beautiful to look upon. When our churches used to be small and very humble and very insignificant, they could not imagine what happened to us. But they would come by the multiplied hundreds. I can remember when my daddy would stick his chin up that they'd absolutely have to get the policeman to direct the traffic around that tent. I can remember when Clyde Barrow and Bonnie Parker come to my daddy's tent. I was a little bitty boy. My oldest brother recognized them and recognized the car and the guns, the machine guns, the shotguns, the pistols, all sorts of guns in the back. And when my daddy went back and invited them to the altar, you see, Clyde Barrow was raised in a Pentecostal home. And Bonnie Parker was raised in a Nazarene home. But they resisted the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost and defied all of deity and ended up with 118 holes in them. They come out, the newspaper reporters, and say, why is your tent not on fire? And Daddy said, well, we didn't set it on fire, so the reason it's not on fire. And they'd say, yeah, but there's a big ball of fire on the top of it. Oh, they'd come. Brother, they came. Hallelujah. You know, we used to have nothing but tangerines to play. And old pianos, maybe. Or banjos. But we've got too big now to have these instruments. Oh, come on now. We've got too uppity. We wouldn't let them inside our church. We're too glorious now. We're afraid we'll run somebody off. That's what's wrong with us today, people. We've allowed people to stay away. They can't see the glory anymore. They can't see the power anymore. The blessings is not there. That's what drawed them to us in the first place. Of Frank Tankersley came in. Frank was a very distinguished looking gentleman. Most bootleggers are. They didn't afford to be. Honey, they do sock that stuff in. You don't know what a bootlegger is up here? I've got myself a stem winder of a sermon, Bruce. I'm going to eat him up. I'm going to nail his hide to the wall. But I don't. When the service is over, a little old 5-year-old girl, blonde, long, beautiful hair. Old Frank Tankersley, sitting down, this little old blue-eyed girl, blonde-haired, began to speak in tongues. 5 years old. Well, that was great in those days. It's still great. It's better than watching them run around half-naked and shimmying and shaking because they get it from Mama. Huh? You better believe it's a lot better. I look back at old Frank, and here he comes. Just a paw in the air. He hits that altar. I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Man, man. If I can get old Frank to pay tithes on them bootleggers, I got it made. And if God saves them enough, God saves him and he quits his bootlegging, he'll lay a lot of bread on me anyhow, and I got it made. Church is over. I went to where Frank was, and I said, Frank, what did I say that cost you to come, boy? Was it the song, the wife? And all, my wife and I are just gorgeous singers. My wife is a tremendous singer. The only reason I sing with her is where I can get in on the glory a little bit. They call her the little lady with the big voice, and she is a great singer. But anyway, I said, is it the song we sang? No. I said, well, is it the message that I preached? You know, it was a powerful message. Oh, no, that wasn't it. I said, well, what was it? Old dry hide. Frank Tankersley looked at me and he said, well, I'll tell you, preacher. I'll just be honest with you. That little blonde-headed girl? I said, what about her? Well, when she began to talk like she did, she called my name. I said, you're putting me on, boy. No, I'm not putting you on. Said she called my name. She said, Frank, one day you shall die. And you will die without my love. Frank, I called you this morning. I speak to you. I said, well, Frank, I didn't hear say Frank. He said, no. Said, nobody did. I said, well, how'd you know? He said, well, you know, I was raised on a Choctaw Indian reservation for a little while. And I learned to speak Choctaw. And said, that's what she was speaking in. And said, that's the hardest of all languages to learn. And she was speaking it as fluently as the Indian chief. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, if we're not careful, this mule that we ride upon, this motivation of the glory of God, this motivation of the Holy Ghost, if we're not careful, we're going to get our heads caught up between the limbs, and the mule is going to walk out. The motivation of the Holy Ghost will never stop. You hear me? When the Methodist Church lost it? Yes, sir, brother. I said when the Methodist Church lost it, old Charles Grayson Finney in upper New York State, went out in the woods one day and got to praying, belonged to a Presbyterian church, unsaved, unborn again, unregenerated, got out there and prayed all afternoon, all morning, got saved, God gloriously touched his life and his heart, and in 15 years, 900,000 people was converted. He shut down beer joints. He shut down gambling halls. He shut down houses of ill repute because he preached the message. Brother, the motivational run old, the motivational walk old. When the Presbyterian church went cold and formal, Peter Cartwright in the backwoods of Kentucky started preaching it. They came out of those hills like monkeys out of a tree and began to get saved. When it happened, when it stopped, then come along D.L. Moody, the Baptist preacher. Then come along Billy Sunday, the congregational preacher. And then come along Pentecost. Hallelujah. The presence of the Holy Ghost will never subside. The character of the mule is so like the Holy Ghost. So like it. Smarter than the other animals. The Holy Ghost knows all about you. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. My mother, my grandfather, the high sheriff. He was an attorney. But he also was the high sheriff of Wichita Falls County, Wichita County. He was a businessman, lots and lots of money. My mother and my grandmother had gotten saved in the Nazarene church. Got the baptism down on the riverbanks. Now my grandmother was a doctor. And she said, you know, my grandmother looked like a 100-gallon barrel with arms and a head and legs. Well, now you may think I'm joking. She weighed 327 pounds, and she was not 5 foot tall. So you think I'm kidding you, honey? I'm not kidding you at all. I'm telling you what size old grandma was. Mama was going with the banker's son, and his name was Lorenzo. She kind of high on Lorenzo. She wanted to marry old cousin Lorenzo. So Lorenzo was going to come to her church, first of all, see. He's good Methodist, but he was... want to find out, you know, before he got mixed up with the crazy bunch of holy rollers, he had to find out a little bit about them. Never been to church before, and so he said, I'm going to go to church with you Friday night, Mabel. Mama said, wonderful. Friday morning, she went to her grandma, and she said, now, Mama, Lorenzo's going to come to church, and we must use wisdom. We must use discretion. We'll run him off. And he's such a good boy, and he is a Christian, and we don't want to disturb him and run him off. Don't you hear that all the time? God, I hope he don't shout this morning. If we shout, Bruce, we're going to run him off. You silly little old nincompoop, what do you think they're there for? That's why they come out. If they just wanted an old dry service, they'd stay at home. Grandma said, all right, baby, I'll do my best not to shout. Boy, listen, when Grandma turned loose, honey, everybody heard it. A set of lungs that she could put it on, tell you about it. So she said, but now I'll tell you one thing, honey. You better go talk to your Aunt Elizabeth. Said, Elizabeth's as bad as I am. And so Mama went to Aunt Elizabeth and said, Auntie, please, please, I'm bringing Lorenzo tonight. And, you know, he's a good Methodist, and I want to get him in church. And, you know, I'm thinking about marrying him. Don't tell anybody, but I think he's going to ask me. And said, now, please, Auntie, don't contain yourself as much as possible. Aunt Elizabeth said, you mean for me to put the muzzle on the ox tonight and you keep shut up? She said, that's what I'd like, Auntie, just as much as possible. She said, all right, baby, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. So that night, church was as dead as last year's bird nest. Song leader couldn't get a word out of him. Man, two hefty people sitting on the service will sit on it. Two skinny ones sometimes can sit on it pretty good. And so It went through, and it was all nice, and Lorenzo sitting there, and no yelling, no screaming, no hollering, no carrying on. The building was built out over the banks, and great, huge posts put underneath it to enlarge it. They couldn't go out that way because of the road, so they had to extend it over the river banks in Wichita Falls. First assembly of God, that's what it later on become. And so everything's nice. The building didn't shake. You know, if you get to shaking just real good, the old building would roll. Wouldn't fall, but it'd move and scare some of them. You know, sort of. And so everything was all right. But what they forgot to do, there was a little old dried up, prunish sort of woman by the name of Aunt Sally. And they forgot to get the message to Aunt Sally. And Aunt Sally sat there as long as she could. And the pastor, they'd even talked to the pastor, Brother Edwards, about it. And said, Pastor Edwards, Lorenzo's going to be here and so forth and so on. He said, okay. And he made a mistake. Old Aunt Sally just sitting there so nice and pious and didn't look like she's going to make a fool of herself at all. And she just sitting there. And he asked Aunt Sally to pray, dismiss him. Well, nobody thought anything about it. Aunt Sally gets up, a little old skinny bucket of bones there. Just skin just held her together is all it was. And Aunt Sally gets up and she said, Father! And to make sure he heard her, she said, Father! I don't know what's happened to this bunch of people. But said, the reason I come to this little old crummy building is because of your glory. And said, I'm old, and I'm liable to die before I get back to church. And said, if you think I'm going to die without getting some of the blessing, you're wrong. And said, I tell you, God, I'm going to start. And when I start, you help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sonde la cara hasatoko. Hallelujah. So Aunt Sally started. Hallelujah. And she got out of the bench in the aisle and went over to Grandma. Bless God, that's enough of it, honey. There wasn't no more. She laid her hand, just kind of brushed Grandma like that. That 327 pounds come up off of that bench, and she began to glorify and praise God. And Aunt Elizabeth couldn't stand it. On the other side, she came up until that place was literally rocking and rolling, and the windows was vibrating. Racondela Caharia Sonde. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Mama was in me. They couldn't even get out of the church for about 30 minutes. Wasn't no way to get out. They got in the buggy. Lorenzo didn't say a word to her. I don't blame him. It scared me to death. Mama got in the buggy. They started down the road. In a little bit, Lorenzo said, Mabel, I was really disappointed in church. And she said, oh, Lorenzo, you must not judge us on one service. He said, Mabel, I sat there and listened to you sing, and you sang no different than what we sing in the Methodist church. Your praise service was like our praise service. Methodists used to praise God. They used to have testimony service. Now they got nothing to testify about, and so I shouldn't have said that. But since I know more about the Methodist church than you, my great-great-grandfather was a junior bishop, not of a state, but of an entire conference. He had some 4,000 churches underneath him. I know more about the Methodist than most any Methodist preacher in this city of Detroit. So I feel at liberty to say a little bit if I get ready. And if I wasn't, I'd still feel liberty. And Lorenzo said, Mabel, said, I didn't think. I've really been feeling like I wanted what you had, until I got to church tonight and saw. And Mama mistook him. She thought he was throwing off on her church. And she said, "Now, bless God, Lorenzo, if we're thinking about matrimony, let's get one thing settled. I'll not give my religion up for nobody." He said, "Oh, that's not what we're talking about." He said, "You see, until that little old skinny woman got up and began to shout, I was disappointed. But when that little old woman, what you call Aunt Sally, got up, I saw the glory of God all around about her. My heart began to beat like it was coming out of my chest. And then your mama got up and said, I never felt nothing like that in my life. And said, then that other big woman got up over there and said, I just thought I was going to be raptured. And said, Mabel, I won't. That's so bad. I don't know what to do." And he just pulled up on the bridle of that horse. Just pulled up. Mama said, "Well, Brother Lorenzo, this is the very place to get it. Hallelujah." And right there in a buggy, she began to pray for old cousin Lorenzo. And Grandpa come by riding his horse, and Grandma come by in her key model, and they saw the buggy parked and Mabel there, and they got around to the side and said, "What's going on here? You see, we don't park. Now it's all right to pet and smooch and carry on like the devil, but it used to, you had enough religion, you didn't do that until you was married. Well, I think I'll run that through the tunnel board just one more time. You cannot play with the animal inside of you without all of you becoming animal." Oh, I wish I had another shot at him about 2:00. Grandma didn't like it. And she got up there and said, "What's going on?" Of course, Grandpa the sheriff come riding up. "What's going on?" And they looked inside, and there old Lorenzo was down on his knees, the banker's boy. "God, what that little woman had, I got to have. God, I can't describe it, but I can feel it. And if you send it by me, I'll recognize it. God, I got to have it." And Mama was patting him on the back, saying, "Honey, go on. That's it, did it. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here." And Grandma got on one side of that buggy, and Aunt Elizabeth on the other side. They couldn't get in, see. And they got to rocking that thing back and forth. Hallelujah. And it began to shake. All of a sudden, glory to God, the power of God came all over. And the banker's boy got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Preacher was the superintendent of Arkansas for a couple of 3 years in the Assemblies of God. Honey, that would make a mummy get up and walk around and whistle Yankee Doodle Dandy. Hallelujah. Glory. The Bible said, "And thou wast little in thy sight, did not I take thee and bless thee and raise thee up. But now that thou art exalted in thy sight, shall not I abase thee?" When we get to feel like that we're it, the baptism of the Holy Ghost moves on. The mule will walk on.